Welcome to Let's Talk America. I'm Alan Keyes. I want to say, as I always do at the beginning of the show, how grateful I am that the folks at Brighteon TV have established a platform that's now allowing the voices that speak from a Christian heart for conservative principles, and I think really for the future of this country, if we're going to survive, have a home and a safe haven where they will not be tortured and expelled and otherwise put aside, as happens on Facebook, as Elon Musk is now making clear happened at Twitter. And I think this ought to be waking people up in this country to the fact that we have now reached what could be a terminal stage for our self-government. And Americans need to start from a point of view that takes seriously the unique place that the United States has had in the history of the world in terms of the self-government of, by, and for the people of ordinary folks. It's something that on the scale we have had here, with the persistence that we have had it here, has never existed before in the history of mankind. And I keep wondering why the leaders, particularly on the Republican side, where you have leaders who are supposed to understand this and believe in it, why they don't keep pounding away at the fact that what is going on right now is not just about personalities, it's not just about who won the last election, it's about the fact that the Democrats in particular, but I think unhappily with the sufferance of all too many of the people who are supposed to be leaders in the Republican realm, have put into effect a situation that, as I've mentioned before, I think, on the show, was characteristic of Eastern European countries during the communist era and so forth and so on. A lot of people don't realize that, unlike the Soviet Union, which essentially had a dominant communist party, right? The Eastern European countries actually retained what you could think of as shadow parties, who were Czechoslovakia, Hungary, other places like this. They had had systems of election. They had had democratic governments, and they had done this since you got out of the First World War and moved into the mid part of the 20th century. This is what was coming forward. So the question then becomes, what were they doing? At that time, they had opposition parties and everything, but the elections didn't count for anything because people stopped protesting against the fraud and accepted to be intimidated into silence. And that's what we have to decide as Americans. The last thing I would expect to see in the United States is a bunch of people acquiescing as people stomp out your liberty and shove you aside, while demanding, by the way, that you go dutifully to the polls and work out things in their pantomime charade so that they can continue to claim legitimacy in their role in government. I'm glad to have to talk about this, Michelle Swinnick, because she's actually somebody who's been living at the very heart of what I think is going on right now, and probably has a pretty highly developed sense, therefore, of not only what is at stake, but what some people who are coming awake have been willing to do about it, and of how much more we're going to need if we're really to face this challenge. And we were having a very kind of lively conversation before the show started. And I think it might be do well, Michelle, to start with that aspect of the discussion, because I do read and hear a lot of folks who are, well, how can I put it, discouraged. And I think that we need to keep in mind when we start this conversation, what is the meaning of the word discouraged? It basically means to have your courage deflated, interfered with, taken away. And I think that, of course, in the course of American history, what did we call ourselves in one of our most famous phrases? The land of the free and the home of the brave. That's because if you want to remain a self-governing people, you have to be a people of courage, a people who are willing to take the forthright stand that is actually a part of your responsibility of citizenship. I want to ask a question, because what intrigues me about our present situation, Michelle, is that we are a country that cannot survive without the courage of ordinary people. That courage in the end built the country and sustained the country. That courage has been responsible for its ability to sustain wars, including an internecine war, the Civil War, and to come back together afterwards on a common ground in order to pursue, as we did during the 20th century, the course of our success, which up to now, I think, has been clear. But the question is, are we still the people who can sustain that courageous act, or have we lost our understanding of ourselves? So that we understand now that government is something that does stuff for us. We no longer wake up every day, and especially at the time of elections, remembering that we are the government. They are not the government. We choose them. We set them up. We lift them up. They are not the government. And the government is not them. And therefore, if we abdicate our self-government and our need to take initiatives that thwart their plan to destroy our sovereignty, if we abdicate that, then we lose. But we don't lose because they won. We lose because we did not take the courageous stand Americans have always had to take in order to sustain this country's life. Am I wrong?
No, and yes, right? So I appreciate you saying that we did not lose, but we are the ones who maybe, as I say, didn't show up, right? We're the ones who are not participating. We have a level of personal responsibility.
But okay, can I stop you there for a second, though? Because that raises a question in my mind.
Sure.
I don't believe Americans stopped participating in the last two election cycles. I think they participated heartily. Last three, really, if you count the election in 2016. Good-hearted Americans. Americans who still believe in God, who still believe in their own sense of responsibility to raise their children properly, who don't sign on to these agendas that essentially act as if we can become a people of, starting with all kinds of sexual gratifications that don't pay attention to what? The purpose and intention of sexual activity, which is not about our pleasure. It's not about our satisfaction. It's about the creation of the human race, as established and ordained and mandated by God. And people always took that very seriously in America. And if you didn't take it seriously, you were a ne'er-do-well and so forth and so on. Nobody ever considered you fit for politics in that respect. And yet we're now dealing with a party that is trying to force us to accept what God condemns and then blame us as if we're violating some premise of the freedom of speech. We don't have to give in to that. And I think a lot of Americans didn't. That's why they voted for Donald Trump. That's why they voted for him again in 2020 and election fraud cheated him. That's why they turned out in the polls in en masse and got cheated again in situations where the Democrats are now practicing, because I think they haven't been called to account for it. They're now practicing in what seems a run-of-the-mill fashion for them, the theft of our elections. And I say that unabashedly. They're election thieves, and we mustn't act like that's an incidental statement. That's a statement of the usurpation of power by people who do not represent this people, and that means the overthrow of our Constitution and our form of government. And at the end of the day, if we don't take a stand about that based on that premise, then we are going to lose. But a matter of fact, in terms of the people themselves, I think they turned out. I think they voted as they need to vote. And I think they've been cheated. And we must have leaders who are willing to make that cheating the focal point of this battle.
Okay, there's a lot there, but I'm gonna unravel it slowly but quickly. So yes, the people, yes, they did vote. Okay, but a majority of the people. All right, let me back up. I've been saying this since election night, okay? Because I was an election judge at the Islamic Center here in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's Mayor Corruption County, Anarchy, Arizona. It has finally lived up to its name that I've been saying for 2 years, okay? I said it the night of. You had a red tsunami across the whole country based on the actual voting of the American people. You had a blue massacre of your legal vote based on the results. The results did not match what the people voted for. End of story. That is a fact across the whole country. Okay. Remember, the entire election system is fundamentally designed to control the outcomes. It's designed to control the outcomes. That's why there hasn't been changes to the system since they literally hijacked it in 2020 when they started doing the mail-in, mail-out ballots. Okay, so let that sink in, everybody. Most of the people in elected and selected elitist positions, politicians, election directors, people that make decisions, board of supervisors, the majority across this country are all Republicans, okay? They're really not. They're rhinos. They're part of the establishment. Remember, there's an R next to your name. It means rhino until you prove to me you're not. Because if they really stood for what the country was founded on, the principles, the true Republican Party, they would not have allowed these things to be implemented in the first place, which were done illegally because the legislature didn't approve it across the country. And then they didn't do anything to change it. Here in Arizona, they had opportunities. They had a majority. Most of our executive branches, all R's. I'm not even going to say Republicans anymore because I'm tired of justifying the difference. They're R's. It's not a Republican. Okay, I'm speaking from experience. I am a precinct committee man. I am on the ground. I'm in the groups. I know the people that are in office. They don't care. They have moved on. Okay, this is what we were talking about before the break. The legislators have moved on. They've said it. They don't care that this election was the most fraudulent maladministration in the history, amongst a bunch of other adjectives, in the history of the country. The whole thing, all the midterms, but really, really extreme here in Arizona in your face. I can go on for 2 to 3 hours and list specifics, okay? But here's the thing. Yes, the American people voted, but how did they vote? Most people did it by mail. That's not a vote. That is just giving them more ammunition for fraud. And if you don't believe me, 298,000 ballots mysteriously just appeared after election night that were not in the system here in Mayor Corruption County. And you wonder why that you can have fraud. How can, okay, is it well, run
but,
back?
Exactly right. But blaming the American people for that is entirely wrong.
Yes. No. There's it's personal responsibility, wrong. Alan. You don't have to vote by mail.
No, you don't have to vote by mail. A lot of people didn't vote by mail. It didn't matter.
No, they did.
Because
they
the election machine. Wait. Mm-mm. Election machines are broken. You can't tell me that you know exactly how many people left before they cast their vote because they got discouraged by the mess that was purposely created. In different parts of the country, people faced that. And in some places, as you know, it was acute. And it was done purposely by people with malice aforethought. And
well,
It all began. Of course it was. But the fact that the enemy plans and has a strategy and does this and that doesn't mean you lose or accept what they're planning to do. Okay? But the thing that really bothers me, I wanted to throw this on the table because you're in one way, I think you're exactly right. But in another way, we have to start holding our institutions, which are even in a very relevant way in this argument. This whole thing really came to the point we were in 2022 because the Supreme Court refused to do its duty in 2020. They acted as if somehow the question of election fraud is extraneous to their responsibilities. And this was inexcusable. It was inexcusable. Why? Because it's quite clear in the Constitution of the United States. The United States shall guarantee a Republican form of government in each of the states. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and just peruse, even cursorily, the discussions, debates, other things in the Constitutional Convention, what is the basis for recognizing something in the context of our Constitution and America as a legitimate election, as a acquittal of the responsibilities people have in the election? Elections must, in our republic, must represent the will of the people. And therefore, anything that interferes with the expression of that will is an attack on the body politic and dereliction of duty. Because if it occurs anywhere in the country, we have provisions which the Constitution ignored that say you have to deal with it because otherwise you no longer have a Republican form of government. These elections are an absolute prerequisite. They're part of the definition of what it means to have our constitutional self-government. And so when it says you've got to have a Republican form of government, they don't mean the Republican Party. They mean one that relies upon this expression of the will of the people. Now, if that's being thwarted, that's an attack on the body politic. Mm-hmm. It's not a partisan attack. It's an attack on the very existence of our sovereignty as a people. And I think the thing that worries me most is that we're tolerating acquiescence in this. There should have been a huge outcry from the grassroots after the Supreme Court refused to do its duty and even take a look at what was going on in the country when the states demanded it of them. And guess what? There was no other way to handle it. When they got organized, and in Texas and I think 18 other states, they went to Supreme Court and they said, we think that this and that and the other thing in the various states, that's election fraud. And then what does the Supreme Court do? It should have said, whoa, that can't be tolerated. That's an attack. We got to get to the facts. And then they organized themselves to dig deep if they have to do in order to ascertain what happened. It was total dereliction. And frankly, the people who supported it in any way on the court, if we knew who they were, we should kick them out. But leave that aside. We can't tolerate it. And yet, right now, in line with what you're saying, I don't hear the voices raised among those who are supposed to be the representatives of the people. They're acting as if Donald Trump's crazy because he keeps hammering away at the fraudulent election he was subject to. And he keeps hammering away at the need to care about and be mindful of that election process. What's the matter with the American people? Is it lack of knowledge, or have we just acquiesced now because the end result of this is communist Chinese slavery for the people of the United States? And I can't believe we're accepting this.
But we have, Alan. Look, they conditioned us with the COVID, the political propaganda pandemic. Literally, because somebody said, we have determined based on models that we need to shut the country down. And what did we do? We said, okay, yeah, let's do it. 2 weeks, no problem. Shut my church, shut my business. So they got us conditioned. So you have people that stood up, like on our side, but a lot of people didn't. They laid down and said, you know what? Fine. Where are the trains? Where are the ovens? Where are the showers? Where do we go? And that started.
I understand what you're saying, but I think we also have to look at, and that's what I'm trying to ponder, because how do we actually get people to see who they really become and who a lot of people were tempted to become during the pandemic? The government says X, do X. And you look at them and say, well, how far do I need to go with X, and how high do I need to jump with X, and so forth and so on. That's partly, you're right, something to be criticized. But in the first instance, and this is how I've been trying to think it through, it actually reflects what helped to sustain this republic for its pretty much entire existence. And it is the fact that after a certain point in our early history, we became a law-abiding people. It was characteristic of Americans. That's not a question. The disposition of decent people was to live within the law, respect the law, and therefore, if it's according to the law, I'm going to follow it, even if it means I have to sacrifice. And we preserved this country on the basis of that kind of dedication. It's not a bad thing in and of itself that you are disposed to accept what needs to be done for the good of the country, to make it a discipline for yourself and to accept it. They played on that during the election, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now that we know, by the way, from many different quarters and justified now by CDC backing away and all these liars coming up to now reveal that, yeah, they were lying. And they knew that there was a danger, and they knew how it would spread and how much harm it would do to our people. I think people are very angry about that. And we need them to focus that anger on the simple question: what was the intention of the pandemic? And when I say intention, I don't just mean its material result. What outcome did they want for this country to which that contributed? What outcome do they want from the country to which the effort in total violation of the Constitution? You may get me to stop calling people names and this and that and the other thing in a way that invites, fisticuffs. Yes, because we want peace and things should be done in the proper way. You can't get me to abandon my religious understanding that God condemns certain kinds of human activities, including certain kinds of sexuality. The notion that we have to respect that is a total violation of the clear, plain language of the Constitution, which gives to the government no basis whatsoever for disregarding our religious faith and beliefs and forcing us to accept others against our will. And that's what they're trying to do. And yet, which of the leaders is speaking out forthrightly to make it clear that this is not just a question of what they're doing to this one and that one and the other one? It's an effort to get us to accept the notion that they can openly violate the Constitution and try to force us away from our understanding of what is right and wrong according to God, without acquiescing, if we do that, in the destruction of our country. We're not thinking this through, Michelle, and I'm not sure we have leaders who are helping us think it through.
We don't. We have people in leadership positions, not leaders. Okay, so we need to accept that. And we also, the whole thing, fear. Can you say fear? Can you say control? Can you say obey? You asked, what did they want to get out of it? That's what they wanted. They wanted you to be controlled. They wanted you to fear just about everything, and none of it was real.
But you see, in the past, and I think I can say this without hesitation, when push came to shove, Americans were not people who feared the governors.
They do now.
Who feared the government. I don't believe we do. No, I just don't believe they've awakened to the nature of the attack that they're being subject to. And they were actually pretty shrewd and smart to start us from a position where what they were asking us to do was in fact in conformity with our character. And I will not accept the notion that doing what we are asked to do for the good of the country is a bad habit. I think it's a good habit, but you must think about whether what they're asking you to do is really good for the country. We got to continue this discussion right after the break.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Now, we're having a lively conversation because I've been thinking, Michelle, a lot about this, and it kind of breaks my heart to see what's going on, because in some ways, the American people are how can I put it, a better people than at the moment we are showing ourselves to be. But I think that that failure to show who we really are is now based on a lack of understanding, systematically encouraged, about who we are. Because I was asking the question when we came out, and it might be good to go through the back and forth, because I asked the question, who are the leaders in this country? It's a very simple question. Who are the leaders?
To believe the leaders, again, I call them leadership, people in leadership position, not leaders, because I haven't really found a true leader. I mean, Trump for the most part, and then not really anybody else. But we've put, you know, we love to put people on pedestals because we think that they should be doing all the work. Well, good, he can do it. Like Trump will do it, and then we don't have to do anything. We could ride the coattails or get involved. We don't have to get involved. We don't have to show up. When I say show up, I mean in a broad sense, in many different ways, whether it's in person or it is on paper or it is digitally or it is vocally, right? That's what I mean, show up and participate, right? Get involved. But as far as, you know, we have elected officials, we think that they should be the leaders. We have groups, well, we have PACs, we have all these people that love to be on camera. They should be the leaders, but are they? No,
well, let me
it
ask
goes
a question.
Back to us.
They shouldn't be the leaders.
No.
And they were never envisaged as the leaders. It's what makes America and what has made America unique. And we know this, by the way, but we don't think it through. Whether in the Senate or the House of Representatives, in the state legislatures, whatever those bodies correspond to, or in the national government, what's the general word we use for the people in both houses who take the position of senator or congressman? Who are they? They are our
representatives.
Representatives. Mm-hmm. Okay. Represent begs a question. Because when you represent something, you are putting forward something that has already been presented. Presented by who? Presented by the people.
Us.
By us. People. Who is the leader then in that situation?
That'd be we the people, sir.
That would be us.
For 200.
That would be us. And that means if you get up in the morning thinking, Donald Trump's our leader, or Joe Biden's our leader, and so forth, you have missed the point of the very existence of the United States. Okay, when this country was being explored, what came first, the people or the government?
Oh, that would be the people.
That would be the people.
And that would be the state before the federal.
Well, but leave aside just the general concept of government, the burden of developing what was available was on the people. They were the ones who, starting with people who were, you know, kind of lonely folks going out to do their hunting and other things, who explored different parts of the country. You can see this, who were the first people who had to deal with Native Americans and so forth. And then people started to follow after that, moving families and starting to try to farms and so forth and so on. Did somebody force them to do this? No. By and large, it was people taking an initiative who were just restless and couldn't stay in one place when it looked like opportunity might be out there and so forth and so on. This is the people, and the government then had to understand what people were doing and take their cue from it so they could represent the intention, represent the heart, represent what Americans had already started. And I think that we have forgotten that aspect of who we are as a people. Am I wrong? Because we're supposed to be the sovereign people, not sovereign individuals. I never use that phrase. Individuals are not sovereign in America. We are part of a people, however, that on the whole is the sovereign. And that's what our elections really are about. They're about choosing the ministers, the people who minister to the results that we demand because we take the initiative to start the ball rolling, and they're supposed to work according to our goodwill toward the result. Am I making sense?
No, you totally are. I mean, when we relinquished our participation and our checks and balances that we're supposed to do and our accountability of these people, that we gave them everything on a silver platter, and then we turned away. We didn't keep an eye on them. And then they, as what people do when they have power and they have money and they have different intentions, maybe nefarious, not maybe, nefarious intentions, and they're influenced and they're compromised, they do things that aren't what should be done. Well, we're busy. We got that. But in 2020, we saw the smack in our faces when we realized that what was going on. And these people have literally gone off the deep end. So we had people showing up. I mean, just go back to the Tea Party, at least the Tea Party. And I wasn't that in tune on how bad things were because I wasn't paying attention. I was removed from it. I was busy working, right? I was busy working and then doing social things. So I wasn't as diehard because you had mentioned grassroots. Well, think about the grassroots, the official one, the original was the Tea Party. It was what, 2009 or 2010. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, then they kind of fizzled because they kind of got destroyed. I have a feeling it was more so by the establishment yet again. They love to extinguish that flame of passionate people who want to stand up for what this country is supposed to be all about.
To address that for a moment, because I think you're exactly right. I remember going to Tea Party gatherings, being invited to speak and so forth and so on. And I was just as impressed and enthused as I could be. Because I think that was a genuine movement of people's hearts from the grassroots. Mm. But because it was so successful, you can bet that people who are fancy themselves, and I think that though we now have it all in a focal point sort of person, because I think George Soros epitomizes the mindset of the elites who are now seeking to overthrow our form of government and dominate this country. Mm-hmm. They are people who, like George Soros, and he openly has pretty much said something like this. You remember what a serpent says to Eve after she points out that they're not supposed to eat the fruit? And he says, well, that's not going to happen to you. You're not going to die. Then ye shall be as gods. Right? Mm. He beckoned and beguiled her with the notion that she would be God. She would. And if you listen to the way George Soros has talked about himself, he actually says that he's a god now.
Well,
and he's
like
influencing things and so forth and so on. And I see the same attitude from the leftist communist types in this country. Obama and these people, they think they're God now. And everything they do in our politics is colored by this sense that we are not the leaders, they are the rulers. We are not the sovereign, they are now the kings and queens of America, mm-hmm. as it were, and we are just here to obey them. But that's not true. And I think the Tea Party was a recognition of that at the grassroots level. And I think it's still going on because if you don't take the view, if you don't let them beguile you into the view that we should stop talking about the cheating, but point to the fact that what was there in 2020 was clearly continued in 2022.
Oh, accelerated. No.
Yes.
It was. You
yes.
can multiply by 1,000. It's yes. that bad.
Now, that being the case, they did not win these elections, mm-hmm. and the people of this country didn't sit on their butts and do nothing. They did what they're supposed to do. They went to the polls to vote out these people or to keep Donald Trump, and they were thwarted. I think we must make that the basic premise because we must then challenge Americans to live up to who they are. That's an injustice, but it's not an injustice to Blacks. It's not an injustice to Native Americans. It's not an injustice to people who come from other parts of the world, whether it's Asia, Africa, or whatever. It's an injustice to America, an injustice to everything we're supposed to be. They're seeking to tear down the country and to build it in the image of countries that are ruled by people who think they're God. And I think that's the heart of our problem right now. We haven't awakened because most Americans don't think they're God, by the way. Most Americans are quite happy thinking that they're ordinary folks who do a job of work and do the best they can and take care of their family. They don't mind taking pride in the things that they are able to accomplish, but they don't try to steal away the pride of the entire country by claiming that they are somehow godlike in its reference. That's insanity. And we need to reject these insane people. They're no longer thinking like Americans. And we must realize that the first thing that went was any respect for the rules, mm-hmm. any respect for the responsibilities involved in our rights. Rights are not simply freedoms, as they tried to tell us for so many decades. Rights are, in fact, imperatives of right, things that constitute what it means to do right according to the endowment of God. So you need two things. You need to make sure you stay in touch with the imperative of God, because that's the real source of our courage. Nobody ever gives up when they think they're walking into battle with God Almighty on their side. Americans always did. We have always, when we went into the major wars and everything, even in both sides prayed to the same God, Lincoln said. What's happened to us? I think our present situation is because we think that religion's in one box and the government's in another box and the people are in one box and the leaders and they're in another box. That's all false. That's all false. The first premise of America is to fear God, who is the origin of our understanding of what it is right to do. And the second is with courage buttressed by the notion that at the end of the day, you're on God's side. You stand forthrightly and demand respect for the sovereignty of our people, which is utterly destroyed by cheating. And it's utterly destroyed by a Supreme Court or any other part of our government that refuses to take that cheating seriously.
Amen. Can we say that? So, no, you're exactly right. I mean, the fact that people are not fearing God, and they have removed it from many, many parts of their life. And of course, you have this narrative of everything that is anti-God coming at you from every direction, from the kids to the schools to the churches. And don't forget that the churches aren't any help. I mean, they're more concerned with creating a presentation and laser lights and these young pastors that are in a total different mindset and don't have a biblical worldview anyway. And a large majority of them, if you look at the statistics from the Bard study, the one that Lucy DeGrazia, a host of Jesus Rocks, talks about all the time on our show, which is on here on Brighton on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Brighton.tv. And you can also go to JesusRocksLive.com and you'll catch it live there for the full hour because we're on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can tune in this week. But what the statistics are so low that these young pastors who are leading a lot of these churches, they don't, it's like two-thirds of them don't even believe what's in the Bible. So then you have, and then the ones that are teaching the youth pastors that are teaching the young kids, they're even worse off when it comes to what they're repeating. So the show that we're going to do this Wednesday, or she's going to do this Wednesday, is interesting because it's a lot of the stuff that you and I have talked about, where money is the root of all evil, right? Because these are the things that we have been told, but that's not what the Bible says. And I think when I was on your show maybe like a year ago, and I literally thought it was money is the root of all evil because that's what I've always heard, but I'd always go up against it and say, no, money is not the root of all evil. Money is an accelerant and it's an amazing thing. So either if you're a bad person, you get more money, you're probably going to do more bad nefarious things. If you're a good person, you're going to just have an opportunity to do good. But the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So my point is this, there is so much based on who you're listening to of the interpretation, because we rely on parrots and talking points, right? And because we're too maybe lazy to open it and look at ourselves to find out that that's not what it says. Or people will selectively take pieces of scripture from the Bible and only reference part of the sentence. But what you need to do is read it, because it takes it out of context for what their agenda is in order for them to get whatever their narrative is. So when you look before, you look a little after, you're like, oh, that's a totally different meaning.
It is a totally different meaning, but it also opens your eyes up to a totally different imperative. Right, because of that word love. I've often wondered this, because we are told by Christ that we should love the Lord our God with what? With our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I've always looked at that and I said, heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's left? Strength is all the material stuff, the body and so forth and so on. Heart and soul, we kind of have and interest and mind, obviously, to the decision-making faculty that we possess. So if we're supposed to have all those things in the service of God, then obviously, what's our primary love? The love of God.
I was saying, right? That'd be God, sir, for 400?
Yes, yes, exactly. So if you are loving God, then the phrase, the love of money, doesn't apply to you because you love God. And what does that free you to do? To make the best use God wants you to make of money.
Well, he wants you to be prosperous. He says that.
There's
no reason to contemn
money. Exactly. But what makes that possible is that you join money with a love that is overwhelmingly the love of God. It's not even, by the way, what the leftists try to use and abuse to appeal to the good heart of the American people. Because what's not the first commandment? To love your neighbor is not the first commandment. And what I find so telling about when you put it all together, you should love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's nothing left over. You're just loving God. And then when he says you should love your neighbor as yourself, that actually puts the love of self as the prior and definitive love that has to come before your love of neighbor. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how you love yourself. How do you love yourself? You love yourself by loving God. Because who has, in response to your love, the most love to give? The one who is responsible because of his love for your existence and that of everything that has existence. So the beauty of that passage is that it focuses you entirely on the love of God, frees you, among other things, if you are overwhelmed by that love, to do what's necessary to serve God, and defines your neighbor as someone who you love the way you love yourself. But do you love yourself when you're hating God, when you're fighting God, when you're doing what God condemns? No, you don't. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor as that self which is serving because of the love of God. Am I making sense?
Oh, you totally did. And I have an update here from a fan. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me.
Amen.
Don't worry. Lucy's watching. She's giving me talking points. So she's as usual, she guides me through these segments, especially
but
when
do
it comes
you think,
to you.
Well, a question. Do you think, and I'm thinking here, first of all, let's say, because we're dealing with people of religious faith, and we have various faiths in America, but the root of our country, the ground of our country, was expressed in terms of the Christian understanding of who God is, and also who the Creator is. People forget that, because a Christian knows who the Creator is. The Creator is the Word that was with God and was God, that then became man and dwelt amongst us. Mm-hmm. So the beautiful thing about the document they most want us to forget is I think everybody ought to sit down. You can do it end of night exercise and so forth and so on. But every day, read through the Declaration of Independence.
You mean this?
If you read nothing else, I'm not saying the Constitution. No.
Declaration.
Read through the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it's really short.
In my lifetime, they've invited us to focus on the Constitution. But y'all, the Constitution is a what? The Constitution is an instrument of government. You're a great chef, a great golfer, and so forth and so on. You want to find the finest instrument possible. But at the end of the day, are you the instrument? No, you're not that instrument. You don't put that instrument above everything else. You put that instrument to use. But you make sure that it is used in a way that corresponds to what is your first love, which in this particular case is the love of God and his victory. Why have the Christian core of America forgotten that that is in fact our political vocation? And it's rooted in the love of God, not the love of money, not the love of success, not the love of power, not the love of seeing our beautiful country all around us growing and so forth. All of that's a consequence of being careful about honoring the first love.
Well, it's the churches have been teaching a different method, a different way by design to remove people from that. But I know we've only got a minute and a half left, and you got to plug some, you got to do the rest of your stuff on the show. But I want people to go to savemyfreedom.us, savemyfreedom.us. This is where we're doing the Substack to get you all. Thank you, Hunter. This is where you're going to get all the information about specifically Arizona. But also, this is actually a big deal because it is reflective in the whole country, because it talks about everything that we're talking about on the show today about government and your elected, selected elitists and what the American people, because it's not just Arizona, what the American people can do at this point. You've got to reposition your thoughts, right? You got to accept a whole different reality that we're in. And then what are you going to do about it? So I have another Substack I'm going to launch today, because obviously there was the Kerry Lake lawsuit, which is a big deal. These are things that the American people need to still be engaged. As I say, when people have moved on and you're not talking about the election, it's the same thing as now. We're not going to talk about 2020. You can't do that, because this is the number one sacred right you have is the ability to elect your representatives. Yes. And that was taken away from you. And the American people need to actually, they need to take action to make sure that we can undo what they did.
If they take away the integrity of the elections, they have actually destroyed the republic. They have taken away the country. Our country dies. I don't think our country is dead yet, because we have people who believe in this country who are still very much alive and who were acting like it at the polls.
We need to remind.
Well, but they did show up at the polls. I keep saying this. People showed up at the polls.
But I said showing up is more than just
going
to the polls.
To get them to wake up to the fact that leaders silent on the issue of election integrity are leaders who are letting our country die. And therefore, we must make the noise. We must research the facts. We must get to the bottom of it and commit ourselves to living according to God's rule. Because this country, in fact, is grounded on a notion that says that we're not here because we love ourselves. We're here because we love right according to God. And that's, when you read the Declaration, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about freedoms. They're talking about the willingness to use your freedom to choose to do what's right according to God. Are you one of those people? Because if you are, then it is only by our leadership and activity that we're going to get this country back on the right track, because we're going to be doing it for the sake of not just the right reason, but the reason that is the very basis of all our rights. Ponder that. We'll be back right after this.